Thank you, Dave, for what you shared this morning already. It's been rich and has got many of us thinking, I imagine. The scripture passage for today is James 2, 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I, by my works, will show you faith." You believe that God is one. Well done. Even the demons do that. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is worthless? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works. And by works, faith was brought to completion. Thus, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. As we think about our own mortality, that of our spouse, our parents, or others we know, more of us are naming our end-of-life wishes. Often as we think about what we hope to happen, we talk about our quality of life. We make decisions about care and measures we want taken based on what we think those will lead to in our quality of life, and how it will affect it. Do we want to receive particular medications or treatments? Do we want to be put on a ventilator or have feeding tubes? These aren't fun or particularly easy conversations or decisions to make. But more and more people are making these wishes and making them known to their family. Sometimes it seems that we often think more about the quality of our lives as we approach death than our daily lives. Today I want us to think about the quality of our lives each and every day, because of the hope and faith we have in and through Jesus Christ. In the chapter, James says this message to the Christian community. We hear him tell the people that simply saying they believe in Jesus won't cut it, to the point that faith without works is dead. Yet in Ephesians, for example, we read, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." So sometimes we read James and say, "Wait a second, I'm confused. I hear these other verses saying I don't have to prove myself with deeds, and James is saying, without deeds my faith is dead, worthless, no different than a demon who can also profess belief in Jesus." On the surface, it appears that James is at odds with other parts of Scripture. When we look a bit deeper, we notice that some of the works that Paul and others are referencing are things like circumcision or giving the required alms to the poor. Really just laws that have been created by men. Yes, men, usually. As a way of saying, look, I did such and such. The motive for doing these deeds is to show how good you are to others and to try and secure a position of favor within the community or with God. The verses in Ephesians and others in Romans are saying that those deeds will not earn your salvation. They don't replace the faith that we have in Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. As we continue to look at what James said, we can see he's not actually disagreeing with those other verses. What I believe James is getting at is that when you have a true and living faith in Jesus, your life, your actions, and all that you are evidence of that faith. Even a demon can believe in Jesus because it's an intellectual belief. It's like this. This is a square. I believe it to be a square because it has the properties of a square. All four of the interior angles are at 90 degrees. All four sides are congruent. Opposite sides are parallel. And the two diagonals of the square are equal to each other. These facts about the square lead me to believe this is a square, and I'm guessing that most of you believe that as well. But our belief in this being a square has no effect on how you or I will choose to live our lives. Even if we carry around this square in our pockets, which my pants don't have because most women's clothes don't have those sometimes. Also made by men. So we're pretending it's in my pocket. It's not going to impact our decisions and how we live our lives. James says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The faith that James is talking about is a square. A person is naked and without food, and the response is given to keep warm and eat your fill. In my study Bible, it notes that the verbs to be warmed and be filled in the Greek are spoken in a passive voice. This means that the subject, the hungry and naked person, is the recipient of an action, not the one doing the action. In this case, the indication is that God is the one taking action on the naked and hungry person. The speaker has shifted all responsibility away from themselves. Their life will not be impacted in any way by what they have seen or heard. The speaker became strictly an observer and not an active participant in the world. But on the other hand, we know that God can indeed meet the needs of that person, but by simply saying those words, that faith is nothing more than the square. It doesn't change anything within the person expressing the statement. It's believed here, but no effect on the actions or the life of the person. We can walk around all our lives telling others, this is a square, this is a square, and in the end, it's just a square. The faith that James is talking about is a living faith, in that it affects the way we live our lives. He gave the examples of Abraham and Rahab, pointing out that their faith in God led them to take actions, actions that could not have been easy. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar. Rahab was willing to risk her life for those of the spies. Things they wouldn't have done if their faith was in this being a square. So what does this living faith look like for us today? I don't think it's simple or straightforward. In fact, I believe it's messy, complicated, and not really something anyone else can decide for you or tell you how to do it. That's not what I'm here to do this morning. How many of us have used the phrase, "You're in my thoughts and prayers"? I don't think the phrase is all that different from the line James used. So what does it mean about our faith? Is our faith genuine? Are we just giving lip service to the situation because we know we should say something and that sounds pretty good? Do we say it because we don't really know what else to say? Or do we say it because we truly believe in the power of prayer? We know that God can move mountains, heal the sick, and raise the dead. And Scripture tells us on many occasions we should pray. In Matthew 21, "I believe, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." In 1 John 5, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." In Mark 11, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And I know that in this space today, there are many people that if you told me I was in your prayers, I know that statement wasn't made with your faith in this being a square. I will admit I'm guilty of having said I will pray for someone and failed to go and do so. Does that mean my faith is dead? I think more likely it means that I'm human and sometimes we forget to do something we should do, that we said we would do. I think it means that I need to be more aware of what is guiding my responses and how I relate with others. What might be another response in that situation? Another way we can support them. What is your relationship with Jesus? And how are we nurturing it so that we remain connected to Christ, to the love that he has to offer flows through us to others through our actions and deeds? We see an example in Scripture of this relationship, of a quality living faith. When Jesus tells us in John 15 that he is the true vine and that branches that don't bear fruit will be removed, and that branches must remain on the vine to produce fruit. Only a live tree or vine can bear fruit. If we are bearing fruit, it's because we are attached to the living vine, Jesus. In our series, Resurrected and Living, we have been exploring what it means that Jesus is alive today and how that allows us to fully live into the people God created us to be. People with a true and living faith, a faith that goes hand in hand with works. Author and theologian John Piper says this: "The glory of Christ in the gospel is not merely that we are justified when we depend entirely on Christ, but also that depending entirely on Christ is the power that makes us new, loving people." Again, "The glory of Christ in the gospel is not merely that we are justified when we depend entirely on Christ, but also that depending entirely on Christ is the power that makes us new, loving people." I believe Those who Piper calls new and loving people are those with a living faith. Those who have been transformed through their faith in Jesus so that their spirit is not dead and their faith is also not dead. If a living faith is to be accompanied by works, then do we feel like we always have to be on? Based on the example James gave, do we always have to help someone who needs food or clothes? We can't help everyone, so how do we decide? And if we pass by too many people, is our faith still alive? Won't that become all-consuming and burdensome? One can very easily slip into a legalistic mindset, which is the opposite of what a living faith is meant to be. We can get caught up in asking, am I doing enough? And telling ourselves that so-and-so does these things, likely shifting our focus and allowing works to drive our faith instead of our faith giving way to works. The really cool and amazing thing about this whole thing is that these works aren't because of us and our ability to give, do, and be all of these things. The works, deeds, and love that we have the privilege of sharing are only possible because of our relationship with Christ. When a branch bears fruit, it doesn't think about how it's going to do it. It doesn't go, well, today, should I bud? Oh, the sun looks nice today. Maybe I'll turn this apple to its proper ripeness today. The branch doesn't bear the fruit in the absence of the tree. The tree provides what is essential for that branch to bear fruit. The branch doesn't bear fruit in the absence of the tree, and we do not bear fruit in the absence of Christ. Our quality of life and living faith is only possible through the transformative power of the resurrected Jesus. And because of this transformation, it helps us remember that works are obedience to God out of love and not obligation. That works aren't the root of our salvation, but the fruit. The faith that brings a person to salvation, and works bring that person to fruitfulness. And when we talk about being fruitful, I think about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of which are expressed within relationships with others and with God. And when we're in right relationship with others and with God, I'm guessing we say our quality of life is pretty good. The works that James spoke about aren't meant to add stress or cause burnout in our lives. And if we're feeling overwhelmed because of them, a few things we might want to consider. Remember to rest, and saying no is okay. We find numerous examples in Scripture of Jesus going off by himself to rest. Another thing is to reflect on our motivation for doing particular things. Are we doing it because we feel like it, or because we feel like we have to? Is there a pressure to do so? And where is that pressure coming from? Talk to God. Ask God for guidance and clarity. Trust in God and bear the fruit of that relationship. What I've been sharing this morning isn't new or earth-shattering, and maybe something very familiar to many of you. But I find that sometimes even the most basic things in our lives and routines can use a bit of stoking sometimes. My prayer for each of us is that we seek to be intentional in our relationship with Jesus Christ, so that our quality of life isn't dependent on written instructions or wishes, but is a natural result of our relationship with Jesus. I want to give each of you something this morning after the service to help you remember more than just the square. I will say, I wasn't here last week, and I watched Sarah's message a little later in the week. And for those of you who were here last week, Sarah said she almost purchased something, but decided not to because why purchase something that is essentially free? I purchased something that is essentially free. Also for $15, which she did not spend last week. So we're going with, it happened to two of us, men, we're running with it. So that's what it is. What I'd like to give each of you today, I will be out back after the service, are these small crosses. There's two different sizes. Probably can't even see it. Something that you can take with you as a reminder to be intentional about the quality of life we are living. You can put it in your pocket, if you have one, in your purse, somewhere at home, somewhere you can see it just to be reminded. They actually all have little holes too. They can put on a string on a keychain. So a gift for each of you as you leave this morning. I will also have a copy of the Message translation of this morning's passage back there. I found it interesting. I'd read the NRSV, but the Message translation is also interesting. This morning I want to leave you with this blessing. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit be our goal and our strength, now and always. Amen.